Chapter 4, Is There Really a Heaven? How many of you out there are one of those people who always has to get the last word in, you know what I'm saying? Well hey, that's right, believe it or not, I've got some good news for you. You see, apparently you can not only get the last word in here on Earth, but apparently you can now get it in even after you leave the Earth. How? By doing what these people did with their tombstones. Let's check it out.
In a Ribblesford, England cemetery appears this message from Anna Wallace. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clark Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. Margaret Daniels' grave in Richmond, Virginia says, she always said her feet were killing her, but nobody believed her. Anna Hopewell's grave in Enosburg Falls, Vermont says, here lies the body of our Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but the skin of the thing that made her go. Harry Edsel Smith's tombstone of Albany, New York says, born 1903, died 1942. Looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was. In a Georgia cemetery simply appears this message, I told you I was sick. Then in an Indiana cemetery is this message, poor stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be, so prepare for death and follow me. An unknown passerby read those words and underneath it scratched this reply, to follow you I'm not content, until I know which way you went.
Now how many of you would say that's some good advice? And the purpose of sharing those tombstones with you wasn't merely just to encourage us to get the last word in here on earth, as tempting as that was. But it was actually to encourage us that you better get right with God before you leave this earth. Why? Because stepping out into eternity without insurance with God is probably one of the dumbest things you could ever do. I mean, what good is a college tuition or life insurance policy at that point, right? So, here's the point. Don't be like that. Don't make the biggest mistake of your life. Get the proper insurance policy before you leave this earth. His name is Jesus. Accept him now as your Lord and Savior. Why? Because the Bible says this is not a game. When you die, you're either going straight to heaven or you're going straight to hell. And Jesus is the only way to escape the latter. The fourth objection that skeptics come up with is this: if there really is life after death, and we're really going to one of two places when we die, and one of those two places really is hell, then is the other place really heaven? Once again, this is a logical, great straightforward question. I mean, stop and think about it. If all this Jesus stuff is true, and there really is life after death, and we're really going to go to one of two places when we die, and one of those places really is a literal hell, then is the other place really a literal heaven? Is there really a wonderful alternative to eternal torment and suffering? Of course. God's not just a God of justice. He's a God of love as well. And the Bible is clear. The place he's prepared for those who have received his love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ is not just real, it's really beyond their wildest dreams. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Revelation 21:1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Now, according to our text, the Bible clearly says that a place of eternal joy and bliss really does exist, right? I'm not making it up. What did it say there? We're going to be with God himself in a place beyond our wildest dreams, right? All this dumb, stupid stuff we go through here on earth is gone forever. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. The Bible tells us over and over how wonderful this place is.
The dwelling place of God, Psalm 2. The dwelling place of angels, Matthew 18. A heavenly country, Hebrews 11. A holy place, Isaiah 57. An eternal paradise, 1 Corinthians 12. A place with streets of gold, Revelation 21. A place with gates of pearls, Revelation 21. A place with foundations of precious gems, Revelation 21. A place of eternal rest, Revelation 14. A place of eternal joy, Revelation 7. A place without wickedness, Revelation 22. A place without darkness, Revelation 21. A place without sin, Revelation 21. A place without tears, Revelation 21. A place without mourning, Revelation 21. A place without pain, Revelation 21. A place without death, Revelation 21. A place of absolute purity, Revelation 21. A place filled with the glory of God, Revelation 21. An everlasting place, 2 Corinthians 5.
Now maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of thinking that heaven is one place you really don't want to miss, you know what I'm saying? Therefore, here's the point. Who in their right mind would reject God's loving gracious offer to go to a place like that for free, especially knowing you deserve to go to the other place and be tormented for eternity? Therefore, to hopefully encourage people to respond to God's loving call to go to heaven before it's too late, we're going to look at three amazing aspects of what happens when we do choose to go to heaven. The first amazing aspect of going to heaven is we get a new heavenly body.
1 Corinthians 15:42 and 44. It is the same way for the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. They are natural human bodies now, but when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, so also there are spiritual bodies.
Now according to our text, the Bible is clear. As you can see, we will not continue to exist in heaven as we do now, right? What did it say there? It said we must out of necessity be changed in order to partake of our new surroundings, right? And what was the first change mentioned? We're going to get a new heavenly body, right? What did it say there? Our bodies will become imperishable. Simply put, they will never die, they will never rot, they will never decay, they will never break down, they won't even age. Is that incredible, or what? And think of it. That means, there will be no more backaches, no more broken bones, no more disease, and yes ladies, no more anti-aging creams, to the joy of many, like this lady learned.
One day there was a 4-year-old little girl and she walked into the bathroom while her mother was putting on makeup. And the little girl announced, "I'm going to look just like you, mommy." And the mother told her, "Well yeah, maybe, when you grow up." And the little girl said, "No mommy, tomorrow, because I just put on that oil of old lady you always use."
Yes ladies, that's right, in heaven there's not going to be any more oil of old lady creams for you to use. Why? Because our bodies will cease to wear down. Which means, there's going to be no more wrinkles, no more crinkles, no more age spots, nothing. None of that stuff. Max Factor will be bankrupt. And we will never have this kind of conversation with our friends again.
One day a group of Florida senior citizens were sitting around talking about their ailments when one person said, "My arms are so weak I can hardly hold this cup of coffee." "Yes, I know," replied another. "My cataracts are so bad I can't even see my coffee." Then the person with the loudest voice of the group piped in, "Oh yeah, well it's gotten to where I cannot hear anything anymore." Then a fourth person nodded weakly in agreement, "I know what you mean, I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck." "Well, that's nothing," claimed another, "my blood pressure pills make me dizzy." "You think that's bad," said another person, "why I can't even remember what I'm doing half the time. If I don't make myself a note I forget what I am trying to do in the first place." Then an old wise man of the group winced and shook his head saying, "I guess that's the price we pay for getting old." Then there was a short moment of silence and one woman cheerfully announced, "Well, it's not that bad. Thank goodness we can all still drive."
Wow. Please repeat after me, "Get off the road." Anybody glad that in heaven you won't have to deal with that reality or conversation anymore? Why? Because the Bible says our bodies will be imperishable. No more will you wake up and go to the breakfast table and you hear snap, crackle, pop, and you discover you're not eating cereal. No more will you go to bed realizing that you and your teeth don't sleep together anymore. No more will you wake up looking like your driver's license picture. And no more will you look for your glasses for half an hour before you realize they were on your head the whole time. You won't need to remember them because you're not going to need them. No more glasses. Our bodies in heaven are going to be perfect. But that's still not all. As if that wasn't cool enough, what else did it say? Our bodies will not only be imperishable, but they'll be what? Spiritual, right? Which means, our body is going to be like Jesus' body after he was raised from the dead. And if you study the characteristics of Jesus' resurrected body, you're going to see he was not affected by matter. I.e. he could walk through doors. He could travel instantly anywhere. And yes, for those of you who were wondering, we will still have the ability to eat food. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus ate food with the disciples after his resurrection. Is that great news or what? But I'm telling you, that's still just the tip of the iceberg. The second amazing aspect of going to heaven is that we get a new heavenly abode.
1 Corinthians 2:9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him."
Now, according to our text, the Bible clearly says that our new heavenly abode is not only going to be a place prepared for us by God himself, but it's going to be what? It's going to be absolutely literally unimaginable, right? It's going to be a place beyond our wildest dreams. Why? Because God himself is making it. Do you expect anything less? In fact, just like the text says, since it's so hard for our minds to conceive how wonderful heaven's going to be, let's try to expand our imagination by taking a look at what this text might mean from a scientific point of view, like this man shares.
The electromagnetic spectrum contains all the different wavelengths, like radio waves, microwaves, and including a small piece called light. Now your eyeball can see the colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet, that's all. The spectrum goes forever in both directions beyond that. Suppose we get to heaven and God gives us new eyes that can see the entire spectrum. That means there may be brand new colors. Not new shades of our current colors, but brand new colors. That's why heaven has to be so large. It's for the women's closets. But can you imagine if we get new eyes that can see the whole spectrum? You're going to be able to see the sounds coming off the piano. Right now, we can only hear them. Imagine seeing the sounds. What if we get new ears that can hear the whole spectrum? You're going to be able to hear the colors, or smell them, or taste them. We've only got 5 senses, folks. Maybe there's more. But if God just took these 5 and expanded them to the max, we would spend forever walking around heaven going, "Wow. Did you smell that? Here, taste that. Wow."
Now I don't know about you, but when you look at it scientifically, music coming from flowers is not just possible, but it sounds like that's just the beginning. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get there. No wonder the Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And I truly believe if we get this and truly take God at his word, and focus on this and not this junk on earth, it'll save us a whole lot of heartache here on earth, before we get to heaven, like this guy learned.
There once was a rich man who was near death, and he was very grieved because he'd worked so hard for his money and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven. So, he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth with him. Well, an angel heard his plea and appears to him and say, "Sorry, but you can't take your wealth with you." And the man implores the angel to speak to God to see if he might bend the rules a little. So, the angel goes to God and then reappears and informs the man that God has decided to allow him to take 1 suitcase with him, that's it. And so overjoyed, the man gathers his largest suitcase and fills it with pure gold bars and places it beside his bed. And soon afterward the man dies and shows up at the gates of heaven to greet Saint Peter. And so, Saint Peter, seeing the suitcase, says, "Hold on, wait a second, you can't bring that in here." But the man explains to Saint Peter that he has permission and asks him to verify his story with the Lord. So sure enough, Saint Peter checks and comes back saying, "You are right. You are allowed 1 carry-on bag, but I'm supposed to check its contents before letting it through." And so, Saint Peter opens the suitcase to inspect and he exclaims, "You brought pavement?
You brought pavement. How slick the enemy is that he's got us running our lives ragged, killing ourselves and each other over pavement. We're headed to a place where the streets are made of gold. And I'd say being reminded of this, our new heavenly abode, will save us a whole lot of trouble here on earth, how about you? The third amazing aspect of going to heaven is that we get a new heavenly goodbye.
1 Corinthians 15:54-55 and 57-58. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you.
Now, according to our text, when it comes to our time to die as a Christian, we don't have to freak out, we don't have to worry, and we don't even have to be afraid, right? Why? Because what did it say there? We've got the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can stand firm. That's why nothing has to move us. And that's why we can look death square in the face and laugh, ha, ha, ha. You're the loser, not me. Why? Because we know that our last breath here is our first breath in heaven. In fact, sometimes God gives us a taste of heaven before we even get there, like these guys. The famous Christian, Dwight Moody, awoke from sleep shortly before he died and said, "Earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." Moody's son said, "No, no, father. You're dreaming." And Moody replied, "I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. This is my triumph, this is my coronation day. It is glorious."
Augustus Toplady, preacher and author of the hymn, Rock of Ages, "The consolations of God to such an unworthy wretch are so abundant that he leaves me nothing to pray for but a continuance of them. I enjoy heaven already in my soul." Lady Glenorchy, "If this is dying, it is the pleasantest thing imaginable." John Porson, minister, "I know I am dying, but my deathbed is a bed of roses. I have no thorns planted upon my dying pillow. In Christ, heaven is already begun." Adoniram Judson, American missionary to Burma, "I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ." John A. Lythe, "Can this be death? Why, it is better than living. Tell them I die happy in Jesus." Martha McCracken, "How bright the room! How full of angels!"
Mary Frances, "Oh, that I could tell you what joy I possess! The Lord does shine with such power upon my soul."
Sir David Brewster, scientist and inventor of the kaleidoscope, "I will see Jesus, I shall see him as he is. I have had the light for many years.
Oh, how bright it is!
I feel so safe and satisfied."
A Muslim woman, whose child had died at 16 years of age, asked a Christian missionary, "What did you do to our daughter?" The missionary replied, "We did nothing," but the mother persisted, "Oh, yes, you did.
She died smiling. Our people do not die like that."
As it turned out, the girl had found Christ and believed on him only a few months before.
Fear of death had gone, and hope and joy had taken its place.
And finally, a Chinese communist, through whom many Christians had been executed, said to a pastor, "I have seen many of you die.
The Christians die in a different way. What is your secret?"
I'll tell you what the secret is. It's simply that we Christians have taken God at His word and we've entrusted our lives to Jesus Christ, and because of this, even our death is now just a pleasant goodbye. And so, I ask you one last time. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you taken God at His word that says if you call upon His name and ask Him to forgive you of all your sins through Jesus Christ, that you'd not go to hell, but instead you'd go to heaven? People, you can scoff all you want, but one day you're going to die and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And so, I beg you, please give your life to Jesus now, because one second after you die, it's going to be too late. Once we're gone, there is no second chance and there is no coming back, and no matter what we try to do too, we will not be successful in delaying the inevitable, like this little girl found out.
A woman became very ill. After a time of hospitalization, she returned home, but was confined to bed. Her 8-year-old daughter was not aware of the terminal status of the illness. This little girl stood outside the bedroom door one afternoon as the doctor, along with her father, visited her mother. She overheard the doctor say, "Yes, I will be frank with you. The time is not too far off. Before the last leaves have gone from the trees, you will die." The little girl's presence was not detected. Sometime later, the father came to the breakfast table to find that his little girl was not there as he had expected. After searching for her, he saw her out in the front yard. His heart was broken as he watched her picking up leaves that had begun to fall. She was using thread to tie them back onto the limbs of the tree.
Did you know that we are going to be in eternity a lot longer than we are in this life? And there's absolutely nothing we can do to change this reality. Each one of us here is going to make that journey, some sooner than others. So, ask yourself, are you sure that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven and not hell? Well, if you're reading this and you're not sure, then don't delay. Please, I encourage you today, deal with reality, don't deny it. There really is a heaven and you really want to be there. Remember, God loves you and has made a wonderful provision for you to spend eternal bliss with Him in heaven. But you must make that eternal decision that will decide your ultimate destiny. Please, give your heart to Jesus now. Reach out and accept His love and forgiveness of your sins before it's too late. Don't leave this earth without Him. Please, go to heaven, don't go to hell. 1 second after you die, it's going to be too late.